Agenda 5-16-85, 8 o'clock a.m., hearing room A. Public hearing and work session on HB 2011, HB 2182, HB 2183. Tape 224, side A.
On the agenda this morning, we have listed the budget balance of the first day. Yesterday was our revenue estimate. Today on the 16th, tomorrow on the 17th, we have parts of the budget balance package listed, and we'll do budget balance all next week. We do have some other items that we'll take care of first. I want to finish 2168. So I hope people haven't come from all over the state, assuming this is going to be the time when they have the opportunity to testify on the broad range of budget balance measures, because there may be some folks that are disappointed. This will be a longer range process, cannot get it all done in one day. And we do have some other business that we have to complete first. The first item on the agenda is House Bill 2168, and that's the Western American Severance Tax Distribution. And some Department of Revenue administrative changes that they've requested. I'd like to get closure on this measure today. Somebody call Representative Traherne's office and see if he's coming. He needs to participate in this discussion, I think. Okay, Rick, would you, last meeting, we walked through the Western Orient Severance Tax Distribution issues and through those amendments. And what we planned to do first thing this morning was to walk through the administrative changes and the administrative amendments, so we would have an understanding of what administrative changes were included in the bill. Would you please orient us to the proper materials, and let's proceed with that at this time.
The 2168-7 amendments that are in your books under the 2168 tab are the administrative issues, and those are the amendments dealing with the administrative issues.
The 2168-7 amendments under the 2168 tab. Is everyone there? Okay, right.
Okay, the, okay, I guess these are all just bits and pieces here, so we kind of have to almost go through it line by line. The first few lines are adding to the first part of the bill where you're deleting and repealing sections. There are a number of new sections to be amended and some new sections to be deleted. On line 8, I think the first one you need to notice is 321.292. You're now deleting the, that's the one I wanted. No, line 7, 321.037 is the research, Oregon State Forestry Research Reserve Base. This is it's a dollar amount of money, and if they end up collecting and having on hand that amount of money, then it kicks their tax rate down by half. And you decided to delete that reserve base because most of their tax is being sunsetted in each session. Okay. All right. On lines 11 and 12, you're setting the perimeter rate for the OSU Forestry Lab at 5 cents. All right. And then in another bill, you'll set the temporary rate that balances their budget. All right. So that's returned to current law. In lines 14 and 15, you're deleting the permanent fire protection fund rate of 15 cents on the forest harvest tax. Okay, and then in lines 25 through 28, you're putting in a temporary 15 cent tax on the fire protection fund. Okay, so you've eliminated, in current law, there's a 15 cent permanent rate, and now you're sunsetting it each session. One thing I have to remember about this rate is that it's not going to be collected this coming year because there's a reserve base. If the amount of money in that fund exceeds a certain amount, then the rate goes to zero. So the rate will be zero next year because the reserve base just kicked in this last February. Okay, line 16 and 17 on the amendments, is the Forest Practices Act money. And you're deleting the 12 cents there. That will be, so all you're doing in this bill is you're saying there shall be a tax for this purpose, and then in another bill, 2043, you'll set the rate, they've requested 10 cents per 1,000 board feet. So you'll set that in another bill. Okay. In lines 20, 21, you're returning a change that was in the original bill back to current law, and that deals with the exemption on the forest harvest products tax. You're returning that. The first 25,000 board feet is not subject to tax.
That's true.
So you're returning that to current law.
Rep. Skoon.
It just got passed. I don't see anything in the amendments referring to lines 20 and 21.
Lines 20 and 21 of the amendments refer to line 36 of the bill.
Okay.
Okay, and that, and we're here,
page 3.
And page 3, and you're returning that back to current law. Okay, then lines 25 through 28, this is the temporary tax that you're putting on for fire protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Mr. Chair.
Jim Trainer.
I'm having a hard time with the amendments on lines 22 and 23. 2021, we put us back at 25,000 feet. The 15 was for every 6 months, and I'm not sure that the amendments correct, put us quite back to the original law.
Good point.
I think that's the intent, but I'm not sure they get there.
Let's see. It restores the 25,000 and on page 3 of your...
22 and 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lines 22 and 23 of the amendments, and we're on page 3 of the bill, lines 36 and 37.
37.
Yeah. And the question is whether we're getting back to current law. To get back to current law, you need to restore line 36 to 25,000, and then you need to delete the 15 that was inserted.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to restore the annually toward the end of that line, and delete the boldface material that ends that line during each, and then delete the boldface material on line 37.
I think he does do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then...
I missed that.
Okay.
Okay, we're there.
Okay. Okay, then on page 4, line 3, okay, this is a reference that goes back to subsection 3 of section 3 of the previous page, which is the forest products harvest tax for the forest, to pay for the administration of the forest practice of that. So this makes a reference. What this does is define what that tax money is for, and it makes a reference back to the appropriate subsection. And on the amendments on page 2, in lines 3, 4, 5, and 6, and you're deleting references in the bill on section 8, page 4, to the research account. This is the section that, section 8 and 9 of the bill deal with the reserve base for the research account, and you're deleting section 9 entirely. And so in section 8, you're also deleting references to the research account. Okay, so you notice on line 11 of your amendments, you're deleting lines 13 through 20. That's the reserve account, reserve base for the research account. Okay, on line 14 of your amendments, you're saying that the interest earned in the account is credited to the account. and that you can use money out of the account to pay for administration of the tax, okay? And this deals with the Western Oregon Severance Tax Account now. I'm not sure if you want to go through this line.
You're doing good, let's do it.
Okay, it's going to take a while.
Well, do it as quickly as you can, but I think we need to go through it just like this.
Okay, on lines 20 and 21, the 21 is the renumbering, on line 20, there was an old account that you were taking refunds out of for Western Oregon Severance Tax. Now, you just take it out of the timber tax account that was just created in the bill. Okay. In lines 22, 23, and 24, it says that the department can maintain working balance in the account for its administrative costs. You added the word working to the word balance earlier. Okay, so then we jump up to page 13 of the bill. And this deals with the add factor, the add on to the district's true cash value to determine the bonding capacity of the district. And there was old language that needed to be deleted there, language that was used during the transition period from the old ad valorem to the new severance tax. So we're just cleaning that up and getting rid of the old language. If you notice on your bill, on line 8 of page 13, what you're deleting is a phrase, less the dollar amount of the timber offsets. Well, that dollar amount of timber offsets was phased down to zero over time. So there's no more subtraction anymore. So I'm just deleting the language. Lines 25 and 26, then on page 13, this is the part that was subtracted off, and you notice it says multiplied by the appropriate percentage. Well, that appropriate percentage is zero, so there's nothing to then you're renumbering, and then in the amendments on page 3, starting at line 4, this is ORS 321-359. This deals with the qualifications for designated forest land. And if you look on page 4, in the middle of page 4, in lines 12 and 13, there's a reference change, a reference ORS change there. That was picked up. This was a mistake last session when this section was amended. The wrong reference was put in there. The amendments correct that reference. Okay, on page 4 of the amendments, line 17, this deals with the Eastern Oregon Severance Tax account and just says the interest will stay with that account, interest earned on that account will stay with the account, and that the department can use money in that account to administer the tax. All right, and then if you notice on lines 26 and 27 of the amendments there, that they can maintain a working balance. This is a symmetric section to what we did earlier on the Western side.
Just a minor thing, but looking on page 2 on the line 25 of the amendments, looking at the page 13 changes, and that carries over into the next page, and it says delete lines 25 and 26. And it looks like it ought to include 27 too, because there's a
let me check to see.
Let's hand write that under the amendments. I'll make note of that during the special note of that during the motion.
Wouldn't want that. Well, it might be deleted already because it is bracketed. Although we only have half the bracket left.
Sure.
That might be why the bracket didn't do it. But it should be deleted. We wouldn't want that have that hanging out there.
Good point. Maybe so.
Yeah. That might be why. Okay, we are Where were we?
It looks like it is already deleted, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's new.
And I lost where we were. I think we're on line three of the amendments where we're deleting the old Eastern Oregon severance tax administrative account because what you're now allowing the department to do is take the money out of the timber tax account.
Okay.
Then on page 16, you're deleting lines 1 through 29. This is the, you're also deleting lines 24 through 42 on the previous page. Okay, on page 15, you're deleting lines 24 through 42 and then lines 1 through 29 on page 16. And this deals with the small tract optional tax.
Yes.
And this made some changes in the application date. And you already passed out a bill up till 2020 that fixed the dates on small tract optional tax. So by deleting this section, then the changes you made in 2020 will be the changes that will appear in the statutes. All right, so you don't need those sections in here anymore. And on starting at line 8 of page 5 of the amendments, you are amending ORS 477-230, and because of deletions of some sections in line 17 amendments, you need to correct the references there. Some of the sections between 477-920 and 477-970 are being deleted, and the only one left is needs to be referenced 477-880. So that's been fixed. And that also at the same time changes done on lines 24 and 25 of the amendments on page 5.
Okay.
Page 6 of the amendments, line 4. Okay, in lines 5, you're deleting a reference to a loan that was made to the Fire Protection Fund of $200,000. When the Fire Protection Fund was originally started, there was a loan of $200,000.
Then paid back.
And it's been paid back, so you're deleting that section. In lines 6 through 11, in the original bill, they forgot to put in a reference. This is the two cents an acre assessment that's on Eastern Oregon timberland that goes into the Fire Protection Fund and on some west side ag lands. And they forgot to put the reference to the east side in the original bill. So this is inserted to put that in there. And then lines 12, 13, and 14 are the are additional references to sections. This deals with the last section in the bill. Sections that are being deleted. These are additional sections that needed to be added there. All right. So those are the administrative amendments.
Okay. Any questions on the administrative amendments? Let's see, before we turn to the Western Oregon severance tax distribution issues, there was one amendment that OFIC wanted to suggest to the Dash of Seven Amendments. Rick, do you want to come forward and offer that at this time? Yeah, the amendment that we're assuming that you're going to address is the sunsetting of the fire protection account in the precise same fashion that we treat the forest products, Forest Practices Act and then the research account pro issue.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Correct. For the record, my name is Rick Schack, the Oregon Forest Industries Council, and I'll defer to Dick Angstrom for a comment on sunsetting provision as is now provided by amendments and for the funding of the emergency fire fund.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Richard Engstrom, and we appreciate the opportunity to comment on this particular amendment. Now, without going into a lot of background and making my comments very brief, and then I could ask any questions, the difference between the programs that we're talking about is the Forest Research Laboratory and the Forest Practices Act deliberately, through our request, through that of the Department of Forestry and Ways and Means when we review the budget, has gone back historically to 0 or 5 cents, because it's basically when we want to review the entire program for the election and whatever else they want to go on, so that we all have a complete review. The emergency fire fund, however, is somewhat different in that that is an insurance policy. It's something that we want to maintain at its maximum all the time. It has an excellent system working with the legislature of set out guidelines where they review it. There's an administrator to the program. There's an upper level that Bill will be coming through if it's not already finished that will remove the amount in the emergency fire fund maximum from $4 million to $6 million. And it's intended to be a fund to and an approach to give some flexibility through the administrative procedures of allowing the 15 cents to go up or down on a continuing basis. In each instance, whenever we've needed this, we as an industry with the department and the legislature have come in and just increased the amount of money. And because the fact that it is not a program with people involved and so forth, that does not need to go back to zero budgeting, and what we would like to request that we not have the sunset in it, that we follow the present procedures that have been agreed to and worked out with the legislature in maintaining this insurance account to provide for fire protection for all landowners in the state. And so I think it's just a difference in programs. The others are programs that relate to administration of people that follow through them. This is and they need a continual review. This is an insurance account, and we'd like to maintain a constant flow of money into it and not have to come back each time just to put the 15 cents in when there was a very excellent administrative procedure there.
Discussion? Any questions? Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jim Kramer?
I think they make a good argument. We originally talked about sunsetting all three of these teams. There is apparently a major difference between types of funds. I would be interested in moving that particular work.
Jim Burrows Wood, representing Crackenwood. Let's just move that deletion when we move the debt amendments and see if we want to handle it in that fashion. Let's turn to distribution issue. I think we're down to one issue. The distribution. These are dash 8 amendments, Rick?
Yeah, actually, it looked like you had agreed to eliminating the 25% carryover, so I had some dash 9 amendments drawn up that eliminate that. So dash 9 amendments.
Let's work off of dash 9.
Okay. It should be.
Okay, at the very end of the 2168, at least in my book. Okay. Got it. Let's see.
Okay, and then.
Okay, so the difference between the dash 8 amendments and the dash 9 amendments would be on page 11 of the dash 8 amendments. We're deleting. Deleting section 23, sub 3, sub B. Is that correct?
That's right.
Anything else?
Well, there are a couple of references to that section I went through Barbara Seymour, and we deleted those, so it gets rid of all those references that refer back to that section.
In the dash 9 amendments, Rick,
Where is the bond question?
It's on page seven lines, 18, 19, and 20.
As the committee's aware, we've had an informal working group meet. Unfortunately, the informal working group did not raise the question of whether or not bonds ought to be included in the new provisions. And when we brought the measure to full committee for final determination, we had discussed it in the informal working group, and I think there generated a division of opinion. And we were going to go back and think it through and then bring the issue back to the committee and try to make the final decision on a particular issue up or down. Let's see, where are we again? Page 7?
Page 7, lines 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay. Recall what you're doing here is this is the distribution of the Western Oregon Service Tax monies to the various districts. And one of the factors that apportions the money to the districts is the tax rate. Okay, up till now it's been the most recent year's tax rate. You're putting in the most recent 5 years' average tax rate. The question here is whether or not you want to include in that tax rate the amount that's used to raise money for paying off the bonds. You use the bond rate in there. The amendments are written to exclude the bond rate. So only the operating rate would be average for the tax rate factor.
The dash 8 amendments and really the dash 9 amendments have really been the Representative Woody amendments. Representative Woody took the lead on the distribution formula, distribution process early on, has worked closely with the Roast Consortium, worked closely with our staff, and worked closely with the committee. And it's his recommendation that bonds be excluded. His feeling is that there's a wide disparity between districts on the amount of bond and indebtedness those districts have incurred. And if you are in fact including bonds in the distribution formula, that we're shifting monies between districts, and we have some districts who don't have much bond and indebtedness actually in essence paying the property taxes for those entities that do have large amounts of bond and indebtedness. He used as an example, I believe it was the Coos Bay schools and the North Bend schools. The money is distributed within the county, and one of those, I think one of those districts has about a $10 per thousand operating rate, and in fact both of them have about a $10 per thousand operating rate. One of them has little to no bonds, the other one has somewhere close to $5 for bonds. So the feeling was that we would be shifting from one district to another, and if we were really wanting to talk about equity, that the best way to apply it would be just to property taxes that go for the operation of schools, not the construction of capital assets. Representative Trahern, you want to present the counterpoint?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had a chance to meet with Representative Quiddy and we discussed this a little further, and I think it boiled down to what each of us considered to be fair. The proposal that you suggested is what he considers to be fair. I tend to take the other tack on it, and that is that if timber were still on the tax rolls, that the timber would be paying for the bonded indebtedness for that district that has created bonded indebtedness, just as much as all other property will. So it seems more logical to me to distribute the portion that's based on rate, based on the total rate within the district, and not just on the operating, because the timber is a part of the value of the district, and therefore would be subject to the bonded indebtedness, just as any other property. I think that's the real key, is what we look at is,
Mr.
is there is a shift from one to the other, you know, depending on how you do it from the high bond to the low bond districts. It's not a major factor. Let me point one other thing in that only 25% of the money is distributed based on the rate distribution anyway. The other 75 is on timber harvested in the district.
Oh, excuse me. The rate, you distribute 75% of the harvest value, but within the county, then you have to multiply by the rate. So it does show up in both. It doesn't affect the distribution to the county. That is, you first make a distribution to all the counties, and the rates are not taken into account there. It's the distribution.
Down either way.
Yeah, and so it's a distribution within the county, and it does show up in both the land factor and the harvest factor.
Representative Scott?
Well, I guess with regard to schools or maybe even cities, that I guess maybe cities wouldn't, do they participate?
Yeah, all the districts that have a harvest history and forest land will get.
Well, for schools, I guess eventually over a long, long period of time it would even out, because they would all be building new schools at one time or another, or if not, the deteriorating school, there was a district that didn't need to build new facilities, wouldn't be building, and therefore they would help the district that was expanding and needed new facilities. And so I can see that it would be okay to have the bonds in, but the question for George, I guess, what about the potential of other districts, such as a road district like we talked about the other day, or a sewer district, or an irrigation district that would issue a lot of bonds? Now, I guess most of those would be paid back by revenues of some type. Well, on roads they wouldn't. But is there the potential for some district, a special district, issuing a lot of bonds and